Praise the Lord. Been looking forward to this all day. Amen. I believe I got something that'll bless us. Praise God. As I was getting into some things last night at the house, I call myself a young guy, but I've been doing it for 25 years. But, you know, it's easy to get into the Word and study the Bible and think, well, I've been seeing this for 25 years. But as we've got into studying on particularly where we left off last week, our last service rather, talking about eternal life, you know, you kind of take for granted, but you know, the Bible talks about eternal life from beginning to end, literally from beginning to end. And so we'll see some good things. I saw some things that I had, you know, you read the Bible. I try to read the Bible through at least every year. And, you know, it's real easy just to kind of read through scriptures and just kind of as a routine. But I always believe God to see something I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so we're going to share some things with you tonight. Praise God. I'll invite you to open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll get there shortly. We're going to, just as a way of review. Now, if you've missed any of these, this is part 4. So if you've missed any of these and you need to get caught up, of course, you can go online and you can go back and see those. Or you can go to Facebook Live and they're cataloged on there. We'll get to 2 Peter here in just a minute. In Romans 6:4 says, "We are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." I like that, don't you? Well, just before that, Paul said this in Romans 5:8. It says, "But God commends," or another way of saying, God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were sinners. Now imagine that. Think about that. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what love is that? I said, what love is that? Well, why is this so important? Because we left off saying this, that your old life, see, while we were sinners, your old life has an expiration date. It has a shelf life. Your old life will expire. You know, it's like items in your cabinet. You ever gone through your cabinet or your refrigerator especially? You know, those items that are in there have an expiration date. And so there's no guarantees on those. They won't last forever. Okay? There's another way to say it. You know, I was looking right before service. I wish Dennis Connor was here because he would verify this. But Dennis raises honeybees, you know. And it's said that the only item, the only type of food that never expires is actually honey. Now, I knew that to a point, but I read right before the service that they have discovered a honey that goes back 5,500 years. Think about that. Now, it changes its consistency, you know, it crystallizes and whatever, but it never expires. Well, I remember as a kid, you know, I grew up in a grocery store, and so growing up in that grocery store, one of my responsibilities was to stock the shelves. And in fact, what we did when we stocked the shelves was we would take the new items and we would put them in the back and they would take the old items and move them forward. Well, the whole reason was they had a shelf life. They had an expiration date. And so you always wanted to make sure. What do when you go buy milk? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't reach to the front. I push all of them aside and I go right to the back. Right, Matthew? You got to get the fresh milk. Because I'll tell you this much, John Mathis doesn't drink old milk. Doesn't happen. Nope. If it's even a day within the expiration date, I don't drink it. I won't drink it. And I blame Linda King for that. While she was principal here, we used to have a Mayfield Dairy cooler. You know, and so you remember this, but you could go and you could buy from Miss Linda, you could buy a little carton of milk. And so one morning, you know, I hardly ever drink just plain milk, you know, but I was thirsty for some milk. And so I went in there and told Linda, I said, I'll buy a carton of milk. So I gave her a quarter. And so she said, well, go out there and get you a carton. And so she gave me the key. I went out there, unlocked the thing and grabbed the carton. And without even thinking about it, I opened it up. Now, drinking from a cardboard box is odd anyways. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but it just kind of leaves, you know, it's a texture thing. But I opened this carton up and then tipped it back, and it was like cottage cheese went down my throat. So almost died. That experience left me scarred for a while. And so yes, when you go to the grocery store, you always look for the one with the oldest, or the newest date, rather, you know. And so yeah. Well, your life, in the same way, your life has an expiration date. And so you've got to understand, you know, we won't last forever in our physical state as we are. Because a life of sin, you know, the Bible says we were born into sin. And a life of sin produces trouble, it produces hardships that have long-lasting effects on the body, right? In fact, you know, people that you think about people that are not born again, we read several scriptures, but Psalm 55:23 says, bloody and deceitful men shall live out half their days. Half their days. Sin costs. Sin has a lasting effect on the body, has a shelf life. There's decisions in this life that we make that shorten our life. And we gave some examples about that. Ecclesiastes 7:17 says, be not overly wicked, neither shall you be foolish. Why should you die before your time? So there's foolish decisions that you can make that could cost you your life. And so a number of those, 1 John 5:18 says, we know that whoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. All interesting scriptures saying the same thing. Your life has a shelf life. This natural physical body that we have has a shelf life. And so the word tells us at Philippians 2:15 that you may be blameless and harmless, or another way of saying innocent, sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, what I want you to see is this. The Word of God tells us that even though we live in a natural body, our spirits will live on for eternity as believers. Yeah. See, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. But Romans 6:23 says, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. See, that's what we're going to be talking about, eternal life. So what is eternal life? What is the gift? Well, I don't know about you, but if I get a gift, I want to know everything about it. The kids, I didn't really get into it in the last message, but for Father's Day, Sheila and the kids went together and got me this Yeti cooler. And man, this thing's cool. It's called a Yeti Hopper 30. And so it, you know, it's insulated and it's got a magnetic strip. You know, you could fill it full of water and tip it over and it won't leak. And so this thing's high tech, man. But it's got all carabiner clips all around it, and it's got little places where you can attach things. And so, you know, it's an accessory. I mean, it's an ice chest, but you can accessorize the accessory. And so, you know, as with anything that I get, if there's more you can do to it, I'm going to do it. It's like my car, you know. They make accessories for cars. And so I got online because this is a gift. You know, I want to find out everything about it. And so I found out all the little gadgets that I can get to put on my ice chest. You think, do you have to accessorize an ice chest? Yes, you do. Because you can. That's the whole point. You can, so I will. So I've spent the last couple days looking at different things. And in fact, there's some things coming to my house. You were with us last time, you know that I like to have things delivered to me. So I've got some things being delivered to accessorize my ice chest. And so we're having some fun with it. But a gift, you want to find out what's in the gift, right? Well, what's in eternal life? See, if eternal life is a gift, see, God calls it a gift of eternal life. Eternal life, just real simply put, eternal life is the very nature of God Himself. Say, what is eternal life? It's the nature of God. It's the divine nature. Now, you're there in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. It says this, according as His divine power has given unto us, hath past tense, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now watch this. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now listen, as we go through this, we're going to see basically the same thing said a number of different ways. This is Wednesday night Bible study. And so I'm going to show you scriptures from cover to cover that talk about eternal life, the divine nature, everlasting life, all of those good things. Jesus said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation." Now notice this, these are all words that are used interchangeably. "Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Boy, that's good, isn't it? 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed," see, he ended it with, "but has passed from death unto life. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." So in other words, what's being said here is we know that we have this everlasting life, this eternal life, the divine nature, the nature of God Himself, because we walk in love. Now we're not going to take that sidetrack. You know, we could spend a whole series just talking about walking in the love of God. Well, one way that people can know that you have a revelation of the divine nature and everlasting life and eternal life is, how do you treat other people? Right? We were at, Caleb and I were at Lowe's just yesterday doing something for the church, and man, this guy pulled up, and one of the Lowe's employees was with us, and we were outside, and this guy pulled up in a trailer, and I mean, he just started yelling at this poor guy that was helping us, a Lowe's employee, and demanding of him to get somebody out there. And he just real politely said, "Well, sir, I'm helping these two gentlemen right here." And he said, "I said to get me somebody out here. I want this woman that helped me earlier, just get her for me. Just call her on the phone." He said, "Well, sir, I don't have a phone to call her, but I'm helping these gentlemen." And he just rant and raved and cussed and just went on. And I mean, I'm sitting here bug-eyed, like, is this happening? And so then finally, he just said his piece and went inside. And I looked at Caleb and I was like, man, I hope I'd never talk to anybody that way, let alone somebody that's trying to help me, right? Well, he obviously didn't have a revelation of everlasting life, the divine nature of God Himself. Can you imagine God talking to us that way? I mean, certainly not. But yet the Bible says that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now again, all this goes together. 1 Timothy 4:8, you're familiar with this. But it says godliness. See, that wasn't acting godly, was it? Godliness is profitable, having the promise of the life that now is. Take your finger and go like this. Now. Having the promise of the life that now is, as well as that which is to come. Now, what is Paul telling Timothy here? He's telling him this. Godliness is another way of saying a disciplined life in God. See, if you're living a godly life, that means you're living a disciplined life in God. So godliness, a disciplined life in God, makes us fit for today as well as fit for forever. That's interesting, isn't it? And so having the promise of the life that now is. See, you don't get the divine nature of God when you get to heaven. Now that'll be glorious. I'm not demeaning that. But you get the divine nature of God when? Right now. Don't ever lose sight of that. The Bible says that we have eternal life, everlasting life, whenever we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says godliness is profitable, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Talking about eternal life. So in fact, we are experiencing eternal life right now. Right now. Now, sometimes I know it doesn't feel like it because we live in the flesh and we live in a natural world. You know, we're affected by the natural world all around us and ungodly people, you know, all around us. But in fact, we are living an eternal life as it is right now. Praise the Lord. And so again, because we live in the flesh right now, your old life has an expiration date, but your new life, somebody say my new life, our new life does not have an expiration date. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, though our outward man perish, though it expires, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, the good news is the new life does not have an expiration date. See, the new and improved you, right? When you accept Jesus Christ, the new and improved you will live forever. And we're not just talking about a quantity of years, but we're talking about quality of life. Here and now. See, that's the reality of your mortality. When your time on earth is finished, when your time on earth is complete, you will simply slip out of your earth suit and you will change locations. Why? Because we're eternal beings. Right? You're there in 2 Peter. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now you understand there's all kinds of directions we could go with this message, and so I'm just hitting the highlights on some of this, just so we could talk about what I feel like the Lord's wanting to say to us here. So again, when your time on earth is finished, you're just simply going to change location. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 6, Paul says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now think about that. Whenever you leave your body, when you die on this earth, whenever you leave your body, the Bible says instantly, amen, present with the Lord. Glory to God. That ought to bless you. See, it's so important with these things in mind that you replace the past. Forget those things that are in the past. Why? We've got our eye on eternal life. So replace yesterday, replace the past, forget those things which are behind, but replace those things with scriptural promises about that which is to come. It'll help you. I'm telling you, it'll help you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you to give you an expected end. What does that expected end mean? It means a future and a hope. See, way back in Jeremiah, you remember in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, before I formed you, I knew you, and I sanctified you. See, Jeremiah is saying, before you were ever formed, you were sanctified, set apart with a purpose. And so with that in mind, later on, he says, for I know the thoughts I think towards you to give you this expected end, this future and this hope. Look over at Titus. Praise God. There's a lot here, isn't there? Amen. Titus, kind of just before Hebrews there, before Philemon. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, now watch this, I love this, promised before the world began. So before time, God promised us that we were going to live forever. Before you were ever created. He said, before I ever formed you, I created you to live forever. Oh, glory to God. Look, you're there in Titus. Go back to Psalm 139. Again, all these sort of saying the same thing. Psalm 139, verse 15 and 16. Actually, go to verse 14. He says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, and yet being unperfect, it's another way of saying unformed, and yet being unformed, and in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. What's he saying? He's saying every day, every day of your life was recorded before you were ever born. He created you with a purpose. Your life has a purpose. So the promise of eternal life wasn't just about living forever. Thank God for everlasting life. You and I are going to live for eternity as believers. When you confess Jesus as your Lord, you're going to live forever. But it wasn't just about living forever. No, what it was really about was living with a purpose. I'll say that again. It wasn't just about living forever. It was about living with a purpose. Right here on earth, in the here and now. You know, that's why so many people without God, you know, their whole thing, the only thing that they have to live for is living as long as I possibly can. Well, anybody ever heard of the Fountain of Youth? If you've ever been to St. Augustine, Florida, you know, Ponce de Leon felt like he found what was described as the Fountain of Youth. And so people thought that if they could go drink from this well, then what would happen is then all of a sudden they would be immortal. They would live forever. The Fountain of Youth. You can still go over there today to St. Augustine, pay $18 and go drink from the Fountain of Youth. Doesn't do a thing for you except quench your thirst. It's been a thing throughout time. You can go study it out, but for centuries, people have tried to find how to live forever. You just go home and turn on the television, you're going to find stuff about how can you live forever? How can we extend our life? How can we beauty aids that make you look, you know, ageless? People want to live forever. But what is living forever if you're not living with a purpose? Right? Come on now, there's more to this. 1 John 2:25 says, this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. We read there in Titus, Paul continues in his letter to Titus, being in Titus 3:7, being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You and I have hope not just to live forever, but we have hope of eternal life. Yes. Right now. We have hope of eternal life right now. 1 Timothy 6:12, you know, this is the aged Paul writing to young Timothy here. He says, fight the good fight of faith. What does he say? Lay hold on eternal life. See, not only is eternal life about living forever, everlasting life, but it's about living in the here and now. And so Paul tells Timothy, he says, lay hold on eternal life. You're there in 1 Timothy, or you didn't turn there, I did. Look at 1 Timothy. Sorry, I'm getting carried away here, forgetting where you're at. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm a little excited about eternal life. Amen. Glory to God. It'll change your perspective on things. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world. Now see, listen, he's already told him in verse 12 to lay hold on eternal life. So here later on, verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. See, people put their trust in a lot of things. But in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store, I like this, laying up in store for themselves a good, strong foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so twice Paul tells Timothy here, lay hold on eternal life. Well, we are to build a good foundation for the future as we lay hold on eternal life. Well, how do we do that? If Paul is telling Timothy, lay hold on eternal life, how do we do that? Timothy looking at Paul. Paul, what are you talking about? How do I lay hold on eternal life? Well, number one, believe on the Son. Now, you're going to see this in a minute. And then number two, walk in the light of eternal life. So number one, believe on the Son. In other words, believe on the Word. John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now listen, here's a familiar passage of Scripture, John chapter 10, verse number 27. Jesus said this. This is in red. Jesus said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Who said that? Jesus did. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Watch this. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That ought to make you shout right there. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus said that. Glory to God. 1 John 5:11, God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. 1 John 5:11, God has given to us eternal life, and this eternal life is where? It's in the Son. It's in Jesus Christ. John 20, verse 31. So in other words, unless you get Jesus Christ, unless you accept Jesus Christ, there is no hope of eternal life for you. Why do you think we live in a hopeless world? Because they don't have the hope of eternal life without Jesus Christ. They have the hope of maybe extending my life a few days, or maybe I can get past this to get to retirement. You know, that's what a lot of people are living for, is retirement. How sad is that? You know, it's like, I can't wait till I can retire so I can sit there and die. I can't wrap my mind around that. I really can't. And you think about, I know so many of my pastor friends that are in their 70s and 80s and 90s that are still going, man. They're still preaching strong. You don't need to be thinking about retirement. Well, if I can just make it a few more days. No, lay hold on eternal life. It affects you in the here and now, and it benefits you. Come on now. John 20, verse 31, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in Him, you might have life through His name. Listen, I was surprised at how many times it says this. Proverbs 9, 11, for by me your days shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased. Well, listen, if the Word says something belongs to me, then I'm going to enjoy the benefit of it. I don't know about you, but if I find a promise, then I'm going to lay hold on it. So what's the second thing? Lay hold. He says, lay hold, Timothy, on eternal life. How do you do that? Number one, accept Jesus. Believe on the Son. But then number two, walk in the light of eternal life. Go back, you're there in 1 Timothy. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Are you seeing something tonight? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. Now this is Paul talking. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, that He has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Now watch this. Who was before a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. What's Paul doing? Paul's saying, man, I did this the wrong way. He said, don't follow after what I used to do. He said, follow after my conversion. Follow after the decisions I made to accept Jesus Christ. What does that lead to? It says, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. See, the message of eternal life literally saved Paul's life. Changed who he was. He said, before, this is who I was, but now, I mean, to the point that when Paul was saved, nobody wanted to welcome him into their house. Because they said, whoa, wait a minute. This is the guy that had Christians killed. This is the guy that would turn Christians into the leadership so that they would be stoned or killed. This is the man, you understand? And so when he was converted, whenever he believed on Jesus Christ and was saved, then nobody wanted to welcome him in. But Paul said, that's who I used to be. He said, don't follow that guy. He said, follow me now. Don't follow Saul, follow Paul. That's what he was saying. Ephesians 5:8, Paul speaks from this experience and he says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, there are many Christians that have received forgiveness. They've received salvation. They're redeemed. But, you know, they even made the right confession. But they're living defeated lives. You know, part of what, I make several confessions every morning just according to the Word, some things that I've seen in the Word for myself. But one thing that I make it a point to say as much as I can think about it is I'll never live another defeated day in my life. Because I've had those days. Anybody ever had those days? But you know, according to the Word, you can live a victorious, overcoming life. So you have to make that confession for yourself. I'll never live another defeated day in my life. Don't you know Paul did that? I don't know about you, but I picture Paul as saying, I'll never live another defeated day in my life. And we see it evidenced in his Word. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light. In the Lord, walk as children of light. And so there's a lot of Christians that they're redeemed, they've received forgiveness and salvation, but they're living defeated lives. They're not taking advantage of everything provided for them in redemption, in light of eternal life. And so they even confess to be a good person. They confess to go to church. Say, well, Pastor John, I don't swear, I don't cuss, I don't hit my wife. Well, those things don't save you. Come on now, I work hard. I show up to work on time. I'm nice to my neighbor. I even cut my neighbor's yard every once in a while. Well, that's fine. That don't save you. That don't do nothing for you. So there are many people that feel their acceptance by God is largely based on their own works and their own efforts. Well, how good is good enough? So that's the question you got to ask yourself. You say, a lot of people have that idea of, well, if I can just be good enough, then I can earn my way to heaven. Well, how good is good enough? Is it buying somebody's dinner? My mom was kind of joking with me. They never go get coffee a lot. You know, my dad's a coffee drinker, but he just likes plain coffee. And so my little small town of Elgin, Texas got a Starbucks. And so they were excited about it. She saw on TV this particular drink she wanted. And so they went to the Starbucks. And she's probably watching and laughing about this. But she was telling me they went to the Starbucks to order this drink. They didn't even know how to order it. She said the guy at the counter was laughing or you know, in the intercom was laughing at them. And they were laughing at, you know, having a good time about it. And so they ordered this drink. Because, you know, all these drinks from these places have like five names, you know. And so they got up there and somebody had bought their drinks. You know, they get up there, and not only was this a fancy drink, but somebody had bought their drinks, and so they were real excited about it. Well, you know, that person that bought their drinks might think, well, I've done my good deed for today, bought somebody's drink. Well, that's fine, but besides making you feel good, what's that going to do for you? Listen, we can't miss the point that when it comes to walking in the light of eternal life, it's not about how good can you be. It's about what can you lay hold of. What promise in the Word can you lay hold of? Here's another familiar passage. Look at John chapter 3. We quote John 3:16 all the time, but you know there's good substance all around it here. John chapter 3, starting with verse number 15, it says, "Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Thank God. We've been seeing that. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Thank God, we're going to live forever. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. For he that believes on Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, this is the condemnation. See, last time we were together, we talked about condemnation. This is the condemnation that light is coming into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. "For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." What does all that mean? Well, as a believer, we have eternal life in the Son, but we have to live like it. That's what all this is saying. And basically what he's saying is if you've accepted me, you've accepted the light, now walk in the light. What does that mean? In the world, they're going to walk in darkness and they don't want to change. You ever met somebody like that? Just because people are sinning doesn't mean that they necessarily want to accept the Savior. There's people that are sinning and they're good at it. And they don't want to change. I mean, they're good at sinning. Come on now. So our spiritual growth and our spiritual walk are important to laying hold on eternal life. Walking in the light of eternal life will change your attitude. It'll change your personality. It'll change your intellect. It'll extend your life. Think about Paul. You know, we gave Paul as an example. I love what Brother Hagin said. If you ever get a chance to read his book, Zoe, The God Kind of Life, he says this. He says, I am convinced that if one would learn how to walk in the light of life and let that light dominate, that he will live to a great age. Listen, we let a lot of things dominate us. I guarantee you, you've either got in your hand, in your pocket, or in your purse something that dominates your life. And that's that cell phone, right? You get up in the morning and you have to look at it. And right before you go to bed, you have to look at it. Come on. Because a lot of what we do is tied to that cell phone. I mean, me getting up here to preach to you is tied to that cell phone. Because I've got to make sure that we're online and I've got to be able to tell Ann the sound's good. I mean, you know, there's a lot that's tied into these things. But the understatement of the world is there's a lot of things that dominate us like self, where we feel like we're tied to them. It doesn't matter what it is. But if you're allowing something else to dominate your life instead of the Word, instead of serving God, then we're missing the whole point of this thing. Listen, I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm pointing my finger at myself. Like I said, that thing right there, it dominates my life at times. And I've got to make sure that it doesn't. I mean, I've taken steps in my own life to make sure that you know, if Sheila and I go out to eat, I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, I'll leave that cell phone in the car. Amen. Because that's our time to refresh, to talk about the day. That's my wife. I love her. She needs my undivided attention. And so you understand, sometimes there's things that come up. You can't do that every time, but I try to put it away. If you were to come into my office and to have a meeting with me, I'm going to turn my phone over and I'm going to set it to the side because I want you to have my attention. It's not that important. Are you with me? So Brother Hagin, what is he saying? He said if we would walk in the light of eternal life and let that light dominate us, we would live to a great age. See, you got to have a personal revelation that you're victorious in Christ before you can experience freedom that comes with walking it out. Here's the reality. We're going to start winding this down, but options have been made available to us. You remember in the New Testament it says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. It's like every day when we get up, that same word is put before us. I've set before you life and death. Choose life. What the Lord would say to you today is you have a lot of choices today in this world. You can live in the flesh and you can act like the flesh and you can get in the flesh or you can walk in the light of eternal life. And what is eternal life? It's the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. It's not waiting until you get to heaven. It's doing something in the here and now that affects your eternity. What decisions are you making? We have a lot of choices in life. I was thinking about as I was thinking about this terminology. I was thinking while we were on vacation, we took the grandkids to something called the Yard Milkshake Bar. You ever been to one of those milkshake bars? I think they actually got one in Ottawa where they do this. But we took them to the Yard Milkshake Bar, and so when they went to this Yard Milkshake Bar, now I'm just going to read a couple of these, but when you go in there, you get this milkshake, and it's not your ordinary milkshake like you would get from Baskin Robbins. This milkshake, and put up Jeremiah's there. This milkshake, I mean, it's ridiculous, okay? It's a big old jar, and it's dipped in chocolate, and then it's dipped in candy. He wanted the one with the fishtail. because the fishtail is like chocolate and it's got rock candy. Well, this particular one was called a mermaid. And it was a birthday cake ice cream with pink marshmallow cream drizzled inside a teal marshmallow cream dip jar rolled in mermaid candy, topped with whipped cream and candy jewels, a rock hard candy stick, and white chocolate mermaid tail. Now that's a choice, isn't it? Now you want to know what Judas was? Judas was something else. Judas, if you know anything about Judah, Judah likes Cookie Monster. And so Judah ordered the Cookie Monster. And this is Cookie Monster ice cream with a chocolate ice jar coated with Cookie Crisp, topped with whipped cream, chocolate and marshmallow cream drizzle, Cookie Crisp, and a cookie dough sandwich. And then there was Josiah. Now listen, we're not animals. We didn't give him one of those. We just gave him some of Sheila's. And then Caleb and Christina got one. And theirs was quite impressive. I forget what theirs was, something with caramel and peanut butter or something like that. And so these things, that, man, there was choices. This menu, I can make you hungry for something sweet. Well, when they go in there, you know, their menu was actually like it was like a color, full color brochure. And so the kid, that's why Jeremiah picked the mermaid, because he wanted the fishtail. You know, he wanted the mermaid because he wanted the fishtail and the rock candy. Well, you know, they're looking at this menu, and there's a lot of choices there. And they're like, well, I want that one. That's impressive. And so it's wrong to make it's hard to make a wrong choice when you're at a milkshake bar. But now I'll say this: in life, you can choose wrong. Life isn't like a milkshake bar. Now, Caleb and I did something that you probably wouldn't think about, but we went around, see, Sheila got one, and they got one, and then Judah and Jeremiah got one, and Caleb and I took a straw, and we went around and drank out of each one of those just to see what it was like. Now, listen, I think the whole appeal is to get something impressive. They don't necessarily think you're going to drink it, because I got to tell you, a couple of those, they were nasty. They didn't taste good, and I think it's just because of all the stuff they put in them. But in life, listen, in life, you can choose wrong. I've set before you life and death, choose life. You can choose wrong. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus was talking to the Jewish lawyer. And the Jewish lawyer looks at Jesus and he says, "What can I do that I may have eternal life?" See, we're talking about eternal life. He says, "What can I do?" Now, it's a long dissertation here. Matthew 19, 16 to 26 goes through about 10 scriptures here. But the gist of it is Jesus looks at the lawyer and he says, "You want to experience eternal life?" The gist of it is he's telling him, "Go all the way with me." That's what he tells him. That's what living eternal life in the here and now is all about, is it's going all out for God. That's what it's about. It's not just setting your focus on when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. That's great, but there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. Again, I don't want to undermine the importance of that. That is so vitally important that you have an understanding that there is a hell and there is a heaven to gain. It's important. But what are you doing with the life that now is? Again, the title of our message is "Not Guilty on the Basis of the Word." You've been pronounced not guilty according to the Word. But it's what you do once the verdict has been read, not guilty. What you do from that point on determines a lot. Are you going to take advantage of the life that now is and that which is to come? I've set before you life and death. Choose life. He's given the options to you. He's given you the choices. He wants you to choose wisely, but He can't do it for you. Everybody stand to your feet. Praise God. So much can be said. But we'll go back to where we started. Romans 6:4 says, "We are buried with Him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Even so we should walk in newness of life. We have a responsibility as believers to walk in eternal life. What does that mean? Again, not just with the focus on heaven, but with the focus on the here and now. Are these days of heaven on earth for me? Am I doing what the Word tells me to do? Am I, what did it say? Am I walking in love? That's a key. Are you walking in love? That'll really tell people, am I saved? How do you treat other people? Again, all of these things are so important. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your Word. Your Word is always is the truth that makes us free. We endeavor to act on the Word. We endeavor to walk in newness of life. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Father, as we walk in the light, as you are in the light, that it affects the here and now, but it also affects eternity. You said in your Word that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. May our lives be evidence of the goodness of God, that when others see us, they see your goodness. That just like Paul said, that it would be a pattern to everlasting life for others. May they see the goodness of God in our lives in the way that we treat others. And as Paul told Timothy, that's how we will lay hold on eternal life. Tonight we lay hold of eternal life and we expect to receive all the benefits that come in with doing so. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. God bless you. That's a good word. Amen. Praise God. I believe it'll help you out. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.